I'm Vanessa Ferguson, and you are listening to Community Voices right here on NPR Illinois. Boy, we're going to have a good time today because I have got Springfield comedian Al Nimson here with me in the studio. Al, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm excited.
I'm excited too. I was telling you beforehand, but for those who don't know, I'm a big fan of listening to comedians talk about comedy. I like listening to comedy as well, but I just love the intellectual conversation about how it all works. I'm a big fan of comedians in cars getting coffee, which I didn't bring you any coffee. I'm so sorry. That's not this.
For next time.
Yeah. But I want to learn more about you and, you know, what you've been doing here in Springfield. Can you kind of tell us about your time here in Springfield? Have you always been here?
Yeah. Born and raised in Springfield. I've been doing stand-up now for 5 years, and I started here in Springfield. And I just went up at an open mic randomly, and the rest is history. Yeah.
That's awesome. So outside of comedy and being a very, very funny person, I personally think you're very funny. What else do you do what else keeps you busy?
Oh, man. Well, I am also part of Capital City Improv. I do improv from time to time.
So tell me about that first time going up for open mic. That's kind of a hard thing to talk yourself into doing. What made you want to go up on stage?
Well, it was just the curiosity, because I follow a lot of comedians, and I was listening to, I think it was Hannibal Buress I was listening to, and he said, like, hey, if you want to do stand-up, you just have to go out there and do it. And so I made a promise to myself that once I turned 21, I would start doing comedy. I went to an open mic, and I made sure not to tell any family. I told no friends. I told nobody at all, because, like, if I bomb, I want, like, scorched earth. I'm destroying all the evidence. No one's going to know about this.
Yeah.
And as soon as I got there, two of my really good friends were sitting in the front row.
Oh, no.
And they had no idea I was going up. So I saw them, and they saw me, and I just, like, froze on stage for, like, 30 minutes.
And felt I was like 30 like, minutes, right?
It felt like 30 minutes, yeah. And I was like, ah, it's my time. All right, see ya. And I just walked off the stage. And that was my first time.
You didn't tell a joke?
I didn't tell a single joke. I just kind of got the feel. I was like, I think I started into a bit. And then I was like, oh, my friends are here. And then that psyched me out. And then I forgot what I was talking about. So I was just kind of staring at the audience in silence, which is hilarious, by the way. They love when you do that.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just walked off the stage after that. I was like, thank you for your time or something like that. And although, like, initially it felt like terrible, part of me was like, wait, that wasn't as bad as I thought it would be.
That's incredible that you thought that, because that literally sounds like the worst thing ever. You went up and didn't tell a single joke on your first stand-up, and you thought it wasn't as bad as it could be.
Yeah, honestly, people were pretty forgiving in the crowd. They're just like, you know, it's hard to get up there. I got people patting me on the back and stuff. I had the feeling of like, okay, that wasn't how I wanted it to go, but it could have been so much worse. Like, I've never been, like, booed off the stage.
Oh, that's good.
Like, that's a whole nother level with, like, they call it bombing, like, when you do terribly. And I feel like that's a whole nother level of, like, having a crowd of people actively not want you to be there.
Yeah.
As opposed to just not entertaining people, if that makes any sense.
It does. It does. So then tell me about the second time you went up on stage, because this, I'm assuming, was more successful.
Yeah, I prepared this time.
Okay, so how did you prepare and what happened?
So I made sure to write down all my jokes because for some reason in my head, I was like, first time doing stand-up, I can just walk up there and be myself. And I'll just be hilarious. And I quickly forgot everything I was talking about. So I made sure to write it down real quick. I had two bits that like, okay, these are good. And I had, like, three other bits that were, like, so-so. And I was like, okay, I'm going to just do this in front of the crowd. Whatever lands, take it back to the lab, work on it some more, and then just keep doing it over again. And, yeah, it went pretty well, actually, the second time doing stand-up.
So here's what I think would trip me up is not having the joke. Because the jokes that comedians tell are so well-crafted Like you just said, that you take them to the lab, you really work on them and your inflection and your line delivery. And when you write the joke down, do you write it down word for word, or do you put like a bullet point and just hope that you deliver it the same way you practiced it? Or how does that work?
That's actually a good question.
Oh, thank you.
For me personally, I don't like writing things down word for word because I get caught up in like the wording sometimes.
Yeah.
So I usually have like an outline of like, okay, I'm going to talk about donuts here. Okay, I'm going to talk about the Lion King right here. And then I'll have like a general idea in my head of how I want to do it, but I try not to do it like word for word, write down every little thing.
This is fascinating, and you're letting me live out my dream of maybe being on Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. And this is a taste of it. I love it. But we also have to talk about Belly Laughs Comedy, which is something that you do. So can you tell us, what is that?
Belly Laughs is the creation of between me and a Mr. Tim Laffey. Yeah, we're just two comedians that just love stand-up. But we were quickly finding out, like, in Springfield especially, there's, like, one, maybe two places you go to see comedy. But if you want to see what comedy looks like on the local level, there's maybe one place you can see that, which is at, like, a local open mic. And those are usually, like, twice a month, which isn't, like, a whole lot of time to, like, grow as a comedian. And so me and Tim really wanted to, we just wanted to start up comedy wherever we could make it happen. We were doing shows at Godfather's Pizza for several months. I want to say years, but I don't remember. I kind of wish he was here right now. He'd probably have a perfect chronicle of all this stuff. But yeah, we just loved comedy. And we knew that the comedians in Springfield were good, but there wasn't necessarily an outlet for them. And, like, even if they were good, there wasn't any space for them to grow beyond the limitations of, like, how stage time works here.
Yeah.
Because if you're doing stand-up, let's say, at, like, a local club or something, they're probably only giving you, like, 10 minutes or, like, 5 minutes. Unless you're, like, established, then they'll give you maybe half an hour, maybe more. And there's so many people, like, right here in Springfield that I would put up against anyone's favorite comedian right now, but they don't necessarily have, like, the resources to, like, expand, to, like, how do I work out this hour? Because I don't have a stage to necessarily work it on.
Right.
And so, yeah, a big mission for Belly Laughs was giving those people a space to do that kind of stuff.
So when you are practicing comedy and you practice by performing, how often are you performing in a month? You mentioned that there's usually a couple times a month that people could do stand-up until Belly Laughs came along. So now that it's come along, how often are you performing?
It's actually changed a lot in Springfield. I feel like in the days of past, you had open mics where it was like, okay, it's only comedians. And now we're starting to see now, like, other spaces are more, like, open to letting comedians, like, go up and do a couple minutes of stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my buddy Silas, he runs an open mic that's, like, mainly for musicians, but he's always willing to, like, oh, yeah, grab your comedian friends, come do some time up here. And now suddenly we have another space where we can work out maybe our 15-minute bit or something.
Yeah.
It's really cool. I think people are starting to see stand-up as an art form now, which I don't know if it was always considered that in the past.
Well, it's hard. It's I mean, I'm too nervous to actually try it, but it seems really challenging. Okay. So another question I have for you, and this is a somewhat, how can I say this? I'm angry at how good you are. So we've done improv together before. And one thing that frustrates me and I also love is that when we do rehearsals, everything goes well. And then when we go on stage, some people have such a great command of the audience. And I've noticed, hatefully so, that our stand-up comedians in the improv group have a command that no one else seems to be able to have. It's just something that I think comes from doing stand-up. And I just want to ask you, how did you do that? What's this witchcraft? How can I do that? I'm so mad at you, but please tell me all the secrets.
Man, I got to make like a YouTube tutorial or something like that. I got to start selling this stuff. I feel like a lot of it comes from, for me personally, I would always do open mics and shows that if I feel like I'm going to do bad at a show, I feel like I need to do it more. If that makes any sense. I think if you're a good comedian, you try to win over every crowd you perform for. And it kind of switched something in my brain to where in the past I was like, this group isn't my group, so let me not try as hard when I'm performing because, you know, I'm not going to win them over.
Right.
But if I want to be good at what I'm doing, I should try to win those people over.
Yeah, learn how to. And I've actually heard you say this in a podcast before where you have to adapt to the different kinds of crowds you have. So like if you have a crowd that's drinking, that's a different kind of stand up, right?
For sure. Yeah. It's usually easier once people are drinking because people seem more open. They're more ready to laugh when they've had a couple. And then I've done shows at like art displays and stuff like that. You know, no one's drinking there, but I still have to engage them in a way that's interesting, and I still have to perform like they've had like all the beers in the world, you know?
I feel like you've not given me any secrets, and it frustrates me because you literally stand up there and do nothing, and people laugh and laugh and say how wonderful you are, and I'm like, what did he just do? That was so funny. But it's just your presence. I don't know if it's the looks you're giving, the presence, your timing of the joke. I'm just like, I'm amazed, and like I said, I think you're so funny. I do want to ask you, since you started doing comedy, what made you want to get into improv comedy? Because it's different. I feel like sometimes with stand-up, it's a little bit critical look at things. And with improv, it's a very positive, agreeing game. Where in improv, you're just saying yes to whatever is being said. You agree with everything. It's a different look at humor. So what made you want to switch gears?
Honestly, if it wasn't for Jim Dahlquist, because we were doing stand-up together, and he was the one that was like, hey, we're doing auditions for this improv thing, I think you'd enjoy it. If I hadn't have listened to Jim, I wouldn't have tried it, because all the other comedians were like, absolutely not, I hate improv, everyone has to be nice to each other, everyone has to blah blah blah, just not about it at all. And I do think there's something to benefit on both sides, because I do think they're two halves of the same whole. There's definitely times where going against the grain really isn't the best thing to do, but there are times where it is, and I feel like you have to know when to do that, and you can only do that if you have that experience with both. You know, I was actually in St. Louis, and I was at the improv shop, and there was people that primarily did improv that came over to the stand-up stage, and they were just like, I don't even know if I'd call it stand-up, but they just got up in front of people and they were just being funny. And I think that type of muscle that you're working, I think it's so, so useful if you want to like just perform in front of people. There's something about like being on stage by yourself in front of people to where you just have to be you, you know? It's like the purest form of, okay, this is my voice, this is how I feel about things, or this is how I view the world, this is how, I don't know, there's something really special about it.
Yeah.
And like, I say this to everybody, but you really should try to go to an open mic just one time and just like say whatever you're feeling at that time. Like, you might connect with people in a way that you never have before.
You know, now that we're talking about it too, I'm wondering if you have any fun moments of either doing stand-up or improv, but stand-up especially, behind the scenes, funny moments, things that went wrong, things that went great, just some really funny stories that come to mind, because we love a behind-the-scenes story here.
Oh, man. Well, I have quite a few. So, yeah, I was at the comedy club, and I was talking about when Kanye West said slavery is bad. And I had this woman who shouted at me, that's bad, like real angry. And I was like, yeah, that is bad. Thank you for that nuanced opinion. Like, we just found out that slavery is bad.
Right. It is bad.
And yeah, I don't know. There's something about the way the crowd erupted after that to where I was like, I could do this for the rest of my life. Like, it was one of the greatest feelings in the world.
Yeah. It's been so fun to learn more about you, and I'm wondering, where can we see you? Where do you perform regularly? What places can we kind of keep an eye out for? And where can we learn more about you?
If I'm doing stand-up, I'm either going to be with Belly Laughs. So if you follow us on Belly Laughs Comedy, whatever we're doing, I'll definitely be there. I'm also in Peoria a lot. I'm at the Jukebox Comedy Club in Peoria, which is like a historic spot. I don't think people realize. Like, the Jukebox is supposedly where Richard Pryor first made his start in the comedy.
Wow.
Before he became this huge legend.
Yeah, I knew Richard Pryor was from Peoria, but I didn't know he performed there. That's incredible.
Yeah, it's super incredible. And you get the sense that, like, you're a part of history whenever you're there. I'm usually doing shows with the Tuttle Brothers, with CU Comedy, Champaign Urbana Comedy. If you're ever in Springfield, I should probably mention some Springfield places. I'm with Anvil and Forge, and that's run by Lance Kane, who's another really funny comedian. Yeah, they're always doing open mics on Wednesdays. So, you know, if it's a Wednesday and you want to drink a little bit and hear some comedians work on some new stuff, you should come out there sometime. Buzz Bomb with Larry Smith, who's just the most wonderful human being you could ever meet. He's like a big teddy bear that also could, like, murder you. He's such a stocky man.
I never looked at Larry that way, but he is like a teddy bear, I'll give you that.
Oh, yeah, just the one of the greatest people I've ever met.
For sure.
Yeah, and he's always running shows at Buzz Bomb, so I'm sure there's, like, 12 other, like, shows and stuff that's popping up in Springfield.
Yeah,
I do think Springfield's in a good spot right now because shows are just popping up wherever people want to do them. And I think that's the way it needs to be. Like, hey, if you want to do comedy, just start doing it.
Yeah.
Like, put on shows at your local bar, stuff like that. You know?
That's excellent advice. And I want to thank you so much for coming on Community Voices. Like I said, I think you're so funny and I'm so glad you were here today. Any final message?
Final message. Shh, man, be nice to people, man. You know, things are weird right now. People are in weird spots. Just be nice to people.
Well, it's been nice to sit here with you, Al. Thank you so much for being on Community Voices.
Oh, thank you for having me. This is fun.
To listen to past Community Voices segments, visit nprillinois.org. Community Voices airs weekdays at noon and Saturdays at 5 p.m. Production assistance is provided by the Community Voices team: Randy Eccles, Vanessa Ferguson, Julie Heller, and Tim Bowles. I'm Bea Bonner. Thanks for listening, and good afternoon.